Paul, after learning how to live, he spent the rest of his life traveling all over everywhere, trying to get everybody to understand what God's real plan was all about. I believe that's the reason that he wrote the most in the Bible, because that is what this Bible surrounds all around, is about Jesus Christ crucified. So that being said, Paul spent all his time with the Romans and, well, all over the East over there, going around and sharing what Jesus really meant by coming and fulfilling the law. He came and died for our sins and done away with them. So sins is not as big a problem today as our serpent, Satan, trying to get us to live by that law. We come as Christians to church to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and start a brand new life, the old man being dead and the new man being in the Spirit and coming alive. Grace, there's two or three categories of grace. There's preventive grace. That is a grace that allowed me to stand up here today, to be here, to stand up here, to even talk about grace and the law, because if preventive grace had not, God had not put that in place before I did accept the Lord Jesus Christ, I would be dead. When Melinda asked me to do this a month ago, things started happening in my life to bring me here. And first thing that happened in that same week, I went to a bid letting, and a good friend of mine was there that I growed up with. And I had some associates with him because it was a right big job we was bidding. And he was explaining to them, because he was the head of the Harnett County Public Landfills, and he was explaining to these people just how long that me and him had been friends, ever since the first grade in school, and we growed up. And we were mischievous young boys, and but this preventive grace kept me and him both alive, and that's what he was explaining to my friends, that because of grace, there go I. Only by the grace of God could I be standing here today. And he went on to tell them the story about when I was a little boy, my granddaddy took me squirrel hunting. And I tell a lot of people this story, and a lot of them don't believe it, but we were squirrel hunting, and I was 7, 8 years old. And we was in the woods, and he shot a squirrel nest with a .22 rifle. Went right up underneath the bottom of it, shot it, and the squirrel run out, and he shot that squirrel. And it had a vine in it, and he went over and shook that vine. And two more squirrels fell out that nest dead, okay? So he killed three squirrels with two shots. Now, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, okay? So that set me a benchmark for life, okay? So as I progressed on, me and this friend, we were squirrel hunting one day, and I wasn't quite as good a shot as my grandfather was, so I didn't use a .22, I used a shotgun, okay? So my deal was to find all the squirrel nests, get underneath them, and blow them up, okay? And that's what I did. But then I was wasting my shells, so I had to, you know, running low on my shells, so I had to slow down on blowing up every nest I come by. So I had to start saying, well, that looked like last year's and this one is this year's. But anyway, I was going to shoot this one nest, and I didn't, because it looked like it won't, just didn't look like no squirrel in it. So we walked on down through the woods, me and my friend, and I seen this other one nest, and I was fixing to shoot it, but I was 13 years old, and decided before I do that, we'd smoke a cigarette, okay? So I take that shotgun that I had from my old granddaddy's old Ivory Johnson single shotgun, and I set it down on my toe. Well, when I set it down on my toe, it blowed my hat off. That's how close I come to death that day. And he was telling that story. That's the reason I don't let my grandson go in the woods by himself much today, because of that story. And but I know, and this is what I'd like all of you to do for your children, pray for them. Because I know I had a grandmother that every time I got out of her sight, she prayed for me to stay alive till I got back in her sight, okay? And that is what God's preventive grace is all about. Because he knew I would come to him sooner or later. He just had to keep me alive. There were several other occasions that my friend, you know, I got to thinking about it. And my friend, I remember we had chores we had to do back then. And we had about 10 acres of biker stalks we had to cut before we could go do what we wanted to do. So we hooked up two tractors and we went to mowing stalks. Again, we stopped to smoke a cigarette, okay? So he was headed this way, I was headed this way. We stopped, we lit us a cigarette behind the tractors because we still had to hide. We were 13, 14 years old, we were still hiding, smoking. And he put his foot up on that PTO shaft of that tractor. And it was still in gear. And he grabbed hold of me and grabbed hold of that tractor tire. And he held on till it snatched all his britches off, broke his belt. And I just said, at that time, we thought we were just that strong, okay? God let that belt go that day. He saved his life. There's a lot of people that has left this world for a lot less things than what I have mentioned here today. So preventive grace is a mighty vital thing in our lives before we come Christians. And then once we come Christians, grace plays a bigger part. Now, what Paul is telling us that the law of sin, the law of the world, does not overendure grace. Grace is stronger than anything else other than God himself, because God created that grace. We as Christians, we have to look at God's way of laying out how he wants us to do. And I come up with a scenario of a way to say, to make it more understandable versus law. If the speed limit, you know, we have a speed limit in North Carolina on our most rural roads is 55 miles per hour. Not everybody in here obeys that 55 mile an hour, especially my wife. But it is a law. And that law condemns us if we get caught because we have to pay out money. But not only does it fall short, it has other laws that has to go along with that law. Because if that law says if you're running 15 mile an hour over that, then you're going to lose your license for 30 days, okay? There's other laws that goes along with that law that continues to help that law condemn us. So my example is, if you was to leave this church and you was to go up 401 right here, and you know that speed limit sign up there says 55, but you're going to run 65, and there's a cop sitting up there, and he stops you and he writes you a ticket, you know, you've broke that law. But if you pull out of here and you meet a car and they flash them lights at you, that's letting you know there might be a policeman sitting up there. And you ain't going to run 65 in that 55, okay? Because you know he's already sitting up there. And that's what God left with us. He left the Spirit that He put inside us, and it governs us. Some of us call it the gut feeling. I call it the Holy Spirit. Okay? It is the Holy Spirit that He left with us that governs us. That we really, as long as we got Him inside of us, and we have accepted Him, and we're living within that narrow path, then He allows that Holy Spirit to keep us in track. We ain't gonna break the speed limit. We love God. We want to do what He wants us to do, and we're going to do what that policeman inside us wants us to do. So that's how His plan in the real world is set forth for us to live by. Now, that don't stop the ups and downs in life. We all have them. We all have our problems. Not a perfect family in here. Me, probably the worst one in here. But He fixed that problem too for us, if we would just accept it. We have to claim the victory in Jesus. He came here. He died on that cross for us to save us from our sins, to save us from that law. He fulfilled that law. And He gave us the right in His name to claim victory. Don't make no difference if it's eating too much like me, drugs, alcohol. Don't make no difference what kind of stronghold we have on us today. And we are in the flesh, but we can turn it over to Him, claim that victory. Because, see, we give it to Him. We give it to Him when we come up here. But sometimes we snatch it back. Sometimes we want to add to it ourselves. Sometimes we just want to fix it ourselves. And His Son's already fixed it for us. He's already done everything that we need Him to do. We try to make it complicated. We try to steal it back from Him. And His Son has already done it for us. All we have to do is claim that victory. This song that we're going to sing next explains it a lot better than I ever could. So if you would, when we sing this next song, and I'm going to turn it back over to Brandon, but this next song, just listen to the words as you sing it and claim it. And it'll make our life within Jesus a lot better off. Thank you.
Thank you, Ricky. Now, will y'all please turn and stand to hymn 370 in your hymnal?